dig into Hebrews 12, 22 through 24. Because that's what he's talking about. He's saying this. You have a kingdom and you have a king. That's our stability. What kind of kingdom it is? Look at the details of verse 22. It says that you have a holy city, Mount Zion, a city that is not corrupted. It's not as if there's one part of the town that's good and the other side is decaying. He's saying it's all good. It's yours. The author says, you have an assembly of angels that are in this city. That's exciting. That word in the Greek actually means kind of festive party. That's kind of fun. Who wants to be a part of a party with angels? Sign me up. I'm in for that. You have that. But then it goes on to say that you are the firstborn. Now, being a thirdborn in my family, that's really exciting news. Being the firstborn. What that is saying is that in this kingdom, everyone is viewed upon as an inheritor, as someone who's dearly loved, the prize of the family. You definitely have a kingdom, is what this is saying. But it goes on to suggest, 100%, you have a king. A king that wants to serve you. A king that's willing to think about your interests. A king that loves you dearly. A king that's willing to shed his blood. And in verse 24, it makes reference to the blood of Abel. Now let's remember the blood of Abel. When Abel was killed, it brought dysfunction, family dysfunction, and difficulty for generations to come. It was terrible in Genesis. The families were dysfunctional. Division, separation. The blood of Jesus doesn't do that. Your king brings together, unites, reconciles, brings unity. This is our stability. A king and a kingdom. And, oh, that, Pastor, that sounds really good. But when do I get this? When do I get a king and a kingdom? Imagine being on a deserted island for a moment, and it's really difficult, the living circumstance there, and nobody else is living on that island, and someone comes up to you and says, you will be rescued in the distant future, way off in the distance. How would that make you feel? Probably wouldn't give you a lot of hope, would it? If someone came up to you and said, well, you're going to be rescued for sure, but it's going to be in 3 years. That probably wouldn't give you a lot of hope because you're living all by yourself and it's really difficult living. If someone came up and said, you're going to be rescued, but it's going to be in a week or two, that might give you some confidence, some hope, right? Because you can hang on for a week or two. The Christian church in its history has done a fantastic job in communicating that you will receive rescue and salvation throughout the centuries. Fantastic. A clear message has been shared. But sometimes with the Christian church, where it's missed in proclaiming, is when it says that the rescue and salvation is coming in the distant future, when Jesus comes again, or when you physically die. This isn't my argument. I'm giving you what the author of Hebrews is saying. The author of Hebrews is saying, now you have the kingdom. Now you can approach the king. Right now, he loves you as a firstborn. Right now, you are in the assembly of the angels. Right now, you have the holy city. Right now, he comes and serves you with his body and blood. The king, he's here to serve you today. No need to play psychology. I need to wait until I feel better. I need to wait until the news gets better on TV. When will that ever happen? I need to wait until I hear something else. Something will turn my way. Right now, you have the king and the kingdom. We need that message heading into a school year. We need that message heading into transitions that we're facing. It's true, as I recap and close out, it's true that kingdoms without kings, there is no example in the history of earth where that has worked out well. It's been a failure. And it's also true that many kings have ruined kingdoms. The list could go on and on. But that's not what's happening here in Hebrews. You have a king and a kingdom. This is our hope. This is our stability. Amen.